The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Ukrainian leaders on Monday said tens of thousands of people have likely been killed in Russia's assault on the southeastern city of Mariupol. Reuters has confirmed widespread destruction, but could not verify the number of those killed in the city. If confirmed, it would be by far the largest number of dead so far reported in one place in Ukraine, where cities, towns, and villages have come under relentless bombardment, and bodies, including civilians, have been scattered in the streets.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing but bloodshed in the Ukraine and here at home. Let's continue to pray for a peaceful resolution to this conflict, this war that we're now seeing unfold, of course, in Eastern Europe. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, he actually said the other day that that city of Mariupol, it's destroyed. I mean, it is rubble. Tens of thousands of people are dead. And Russia is continuing their military operation, as they call it. They don't call it a war. They call it a special operation. And Zelensky actually made those remarks. He was addressing the South Korean lawmakers. And the guy's brilliant in terms of his ability to tap into state into national legislatures across the planet to speak to each nation individually and raise support. Ukraine, he made the case, needs... it needs military technologies. They need airplanes. They need tanks. And he asked South Korea to help him. You know, he's reached out to the West. He's reached out to nations all over the world. Mariupol officials estimated that there's something like 5,000 civilians. Okay? I really want you to understand that word, civilian. Not militants, not soldiers, not army, you know, not combatants. No. 5,000 civilians. You and me. They've been killed. And he went on, he said, look, given the size of the destruction caused to that city, that number's small. He believes that the death toll could be tens of thousands of innocent lives. Now, I'll tell you, I hope he's wrong. I really hope he's wrong there. I'll fill you in more on what's happening in Ukraine, because the Holy Father had something to say about it. But first, I want to put something else on your radar. Earlier today, and this is always disturbing news, there was a shooting in Brooklyn in a subway station. It left here in our own home dozens injured. And again, it's one of these tragedies that's hard to get your head around. 16 people were injured in the shooting at a Brooklyn subway station, and there were several undetonated devices that were also found. Here's some audio from the scene, just to give you a feel for what was going down. Now, it goes on. I mean, there was sheer chaos there. I saw very graphic imagery of people trying to save one another. One man putting his hands over an opened wound to stop the bleeding, tying it off. People wounded. New York police say that they found an explosive device or smoke bombs that might have been discharged in the incident. And, a lot of people were injured. Officials said witnesses in the station, they were reporting a man threw an object into a train before opening fire on the commuters. You just don't know the day or the hour, do you? You don't know. You're on a subway train. Some wacko throws a device into your subway or to your train, and next thing you know, you're being shot up. The officials said officers are looking for a male suspect wearing an orange safety vest, carrying a school bag, and was described by those who were there as the shooter. So far, no motive for the attack has been determined. Here's some audio from some of law enforcement officials that were on the ground. Listen to this.
I want to begin by assuring the public that there are currently no known explosive devices on our subway trains, and this is not being investigated as an act of terrorism at this time. We can also report that although this was a violent incident, reportedly we have no one with life-threatening injuries as a result of this case. This investigation is only hours old, so please note this information is subject to change.
Again, sources initially, they reported the suspect to be a black man wearing what they believed to be an MTA uniform. He was also seen supposedly in a gas mask carrying a book bag. But they've issued now, they've put on the scene counterterrorism units, canine dogs, heavy weaponry have been deployed in the subway. So, again, keep in your prayers the victims of that particular incident as well. It's just sad. I mean, I'll talk coming up in a few moments about whether or not the fruit of this consecration is taking place globally, but I really do believe we're in a pivotal spiritual moment. This is my own take. I really do. When you see, it's almost like Satan is becoming more aggressive than ever. Don't you see that? We see the division in families. We see it in schools, between school boards and parents. We see the chaos that's happening in society at large. We see it between nations. We see these random acts of violence. It's often to me a sign that Satan's time is running short. I believe that the Immaculate Heart will triumph. I believe that Our Lady will crush his head with her heel. And I believe that we are living in a grace-filled time. That's why we have the apparitions of Fatima and this call to pray the rosary, to do penance. Our Lady foretold what would happen in the 20th century. It's why we had on the heels of those Fatima apparitions these visions to St. Faustina, you know, in the 30s, and the great chaplet of Divine Mercy, and so many of these other apparitions around the world. These are special times. I think Satan is becoming more aggressive than ever. What can you do? I know you might feel powerless. You might even feel fearful. Don't. Engage. Get right with God. Get to the sacrament of reconciliation, right? Begin to pray and fast. Do what Our Lady has requested us to do in Fatima. You know, the Lord told St. Faustina, the world will have no peace until it turns with trust to my mercy. Let's put our trust in the Lord and let's amend our lives. Let's change the culture first in our own heart, then in our families, and that'll ripple out and change the community around you and have a positive effect on the world. There's no doubt about that at all. So there is good that's happening out there too. I mean, there's some positive things that are unfolding, and don't let the media and big tech make you think that everything is so negative. It's not. It is not totally negative. In fact, you know, I had lunch the other day with Father Rocky. We had to attend the funeral of my colleague, Tom Siskevich. I shared with you, his daughter was 31 years old when she died, just a couple days short of her 32nd birthday. And we attended this funeral in a place called La Crosse, Wisconsin. It's a beautiful place, you know, these huge bluffs near the Mississippi. And it was at the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe. I think it's one of the more beautiful shrines in our country. If you've never been there, I would encourage you to check it out. It's well worth the pilgrimage. My wife went with me, and I said to her, she said to me, actually, we should come back. We should come back with friends and spend a weekend just, you know, praying and making it a kind of a personal pilgrimage. And I think it's a great idea. It's a great idea. And when I was sitting down with Father Rocky, you know, he says to me, you know, did you see what happened at the Masters? You know, he says, you talk about good news. You talk about good stories. He says, the story of Scottie Scheffler is one of those. The night before, you know, the final round, it's a stressful time for anyone. I mean, there's a lot of money on the table for this. It'll be his first green jacket if he can win. He spoke about faith and shared how his wife really encouraged him. Listen, I'll share some of the audio with you.
You know, last night was pretty easy. I was tired. We went and got some food. I spilled my dinner in the car on the way home. That was extraordinarily frustrating. You can see Meredith is still laughing at me. She thought it was the funniest thing ever. I didn't think it was so funny at the time. And so last night was fine. This morning was a totally different story. I cried like a baby this morning. I was so stressed out. I didn't know what to do. I was sitting there. I was telling Meredith. I was like, I don't think I'm ready for this. You know, I'm not ready. I don't feel like I'm ready for this kind of stuff. And I just felt overwhelmed. And so she told me, who are you to say that you're not ready? Who am I to say that I know what's best for my life? And so for what we talked about is, you know, that God is in control and, you know, the Lord is leading me. And if today's my time, then it's my time. And if, you know, I shot 82 today, you know, somehow I was going to use it for his glory. And gosh, it was a long morning. It was long.
Yeah, I could imagine, huh? I mean, I don't know how I would do under that type of particular pressure. Of course, Scottie went on to win the Masters. And when it was over, of course, I watched several interviews that were done by him. This comes from SiriusXM Radio. Listen to this conversation.
For a three-shot win, Scheffler behind it, puts it, and it's in. And Scotty Scheffler, perhaps one of the great starts to a year in golf history, with his first major championship. The number one player in the world has won four times in 3 months, and he's won the 2022 Masters Tournament.
What an amazing story, huh? Became the fifth golfer to enter the Augusta National, ranked number one, and win the Masters. The payout, $2.7 million. Not small change, huh? Not bad. But what I was most struck by was not his golfing prowess, but it was his humility and his faith and his love of God. I think that's so great. One of the great stories that are out there, there's a lot of good, you know. If you look for it, it's there. Hey, when I come back, well, in fact, let me bring Dr. Tabali on right now. I want to share with you a conversation with him. We're seeing a lot happen around the country right now with COVID-19, right? I think it's behind us personally. We're going to have more variants. Will it continue to be as bad as what we saw in the first few rounds? I don't know. I don't think so. However, China's in lockdown right now. China is in lockdown. Philly is reimposing the mask mandate. With warmer weather, I'm hoping things will get better. Are we going to see more? Here's part of a conversation I had with Dr. Tabali just moments ago. Yeah, in other news, Shanghai, which is home to the world's largest container shipping port, they began a two-part lockdown on March 28th, and we don't know when restrictions are going to lift. The residents of Shanghai are struggling right now to access food and medical care, and I think a lot of other citizens throughout China fear similar stringent measures are going to be heading their way as this new variant, a more contagious variant of Omicron BA2, its subvariant, continues to spread. And the World Health Organization Monday says that they're monitoring right now a major surge in cases in mainland China. And we will see what happens not only in China, but here in the States. This has a ripple effect, as you know, as the country grapples with this outbreak. That they're claiming it is one of the worst outbreaks since the virus discovered in Wuhan about 2 years ago. We're going to see the ripple effect of that even here at home. You know, this is the home of one of the great shipping points, container points in China. So what does that mean for supply chain? Also, just in terms of health, what's it mean to you? I've invited Dr. Bob Tabali back once again. He's an expert and an infectious disease doc, and he's been taking us all through this COVID journey. We invited him once again to give us a perspective on these latest developments. I thought COVID was behind us. Seems like new variants continue to rear their ugly head. Dr. Tabali, welcome back. It's good to have you here.
Great to be with you. Yeah, the whole thing in Shanghai is pretty substantial. They have over 25 million people locked down, and the United States government has ordered their non-essential personnel to leave the country. And so it's kind of hard to read what the cause of this is because, you know, the information, the data, so to speak, is not really free for us to know of what's happening in China. They used a vaccine that is far less optimal than the vaccines that have been used here in this country. And in fact, the U.S. government doesn't recognize the Chinese vaccine as really being vaccinated. However, China doesn't recognize the getting Moderna or Pfizer being vaccinated. But anyway, the Sinovac vaccine was at its best 40 to 50% effective. It's not long lasting. And it's not clear whether they really had Omicron go through the country before. So they could be experiencing that kind of Omicron surge that we had a few months ago in the United States. And now our levels are about as low as they've ever been since the advent of COVID. So what they may be experiencing is the highly infectious Omicron, might be the BA1, might be the BA2 variant. And they're, with their zero tolerance policy, people didn't gain natural immunity before with the less contagious variants. Now, their zero COVID policy, it doesn't really, can I say, give the nation anything except a slower rate of contagion around the nation. Hmm. And so it just slows it. But what's happening now is these variants are so contagious that zero COVID containment policy doesn't work. And the things that they're using, locking everybody in, it's not going to help them get out of this. This is going to continue long. People are jumping off buildings and...
Yeah, no. Expand that, because I was going to say 26 million people right now are in lockdown. As I pointed out, they're experiencing all sorts of shortage of food and other issues, medicine, et cetera. Only essential workers are allowed out, people who can deliver, et cetera. But they were at one point, doctor, separating children from parents. If somebody had it, the child was separated from them. There was such outrage, they reversed that policy. How long, well, let me ask you this. I mean, how long will this last in China? Because, again, as I pointed out also, we're dealing with having one of the Shanghai's home, the world's largest container shipping port. We're going to see, I think, more supply chain issues. And I wonder if, you know, we're going to see something different here in our own country. So I'd love to have your take on both those issues.
Well, what we saw in South Africa was the Omicron went from start to finish, you know, the whole spike. Within about 60 days. We saw that in Europe, all over Europe. We saw it in the United States, all over the United States. You know, it kind of marched through, and it took a long time to get from East Coast to West Coast, but that's what happened, about 60 days from start to finish. It was terrible. It was overwhelming. I lived through it. I can't tell you how overwhelming it was in the hospitals. But unfortunately, if they're trying to contain this and dampen slow the spread, so to speak, yeah. They're just going to continue to deal with it with these same tactics for months, and they're going to have to close things down all over the place, and it's not going to help them. It's just going to prolong the agony.
Did you say people are jumping out of buildings, doctor?
People are committing suicide there. There's videos you can find on YouTube and stuff, yeah. And TikTok, because they can't get out, they can't eat, they don't have food, they don't have. They're losing, you know, they're out of all their normal supplies of daily life. You know, they don't keep a lot of food in the house except for rice, really. They get their vegetables every day and so on. But it's overwhelming for them. I feel sorry. They're rounding up pets and killing pets because we know that dogs and cats can harbor COVID. But they're not really contagious to anybody. Yeah. But they're rounding them up and killing them now, too. Wow.
My guest today is Dr. Robert DiBolli, just bringing up the speed on the latest that we're experiencing right now with COVID. And, doctor, just bringing it home for a minute, the city of Philadelphia, I understand they have just announced that they are reimposing the indoor mask mandate in response to increased cases that we're seeing here, and these were supposedly driven by this Omicron BA2 subvariant. What do you know? How effective is remasking once again?
Well, you know, back with the old kind of COVID we had, you know, the first couple, the Delta variant and before, it was infectious, and it was really infectious. But these Omicron variants, the first one, the BA2 or BA1, was maybe 50 to 60 times more infectious, and the BA2 is even more infectious than that. It's like. You know, a level of multiple tens, like 30 or 40 times more infectious than the BA1. It's incredibly infectious. And so the masks, they were minimally effective before. Mm-hmm. And with these super, super spreading variants, they're really, unfortunately, I believe there's no data out there, but I believe that whatever effectiveness the masks had in preventing people from spreading COVID from me to you, The masks are far less effective now with these variants that are just so much more contagious. Yeah. Now that being said, if somebody's been vaccinated, it continues to have a high rate of protection against serious illness and death. If you've had natural infection before, again, this will be you will get infected with this again, or you may get infected with it, but. You will do quite well with it. It will be far less serious than a previous natural infection with COVID. Now, the numbers are ticking up. They're ticking up substantially, like 50% more than they were last week, but they were very, very low levels last week.
Right.
And people are getting infected and having positive tests, but the hospitalization rate is not increasing. The death rate's not increasing. And this may be much ado about nothing. And this may be, you know, one of these decision inflection points where we really decide that some of the stuff we tried to do in the past is not going to be effective anymore, because this is really turning into, for most people, a common cold.
Yeah.
But the people that really have significant problems are the people with low immune systems, and there's some things to help them.
All right. Doctor, I guess Philly is the first state to reimpose these indoor mask mandates. I hope it doesn't spread across the country. Final thoughts here. With warmer weather coming, will we see less cases of COVID? Will this be behind us? Maybe in the fall again, we'll see another spike. How do you see this playing out in the days ahead?
Well, I personally think that a lot of people are walking around with some degree of immunity, either from vaccination or natural infection. I don't think these variants are going to cause, or this BA2 variant is going to cause much of a problem for our country unless we make a problem out of it. If people have compromised immune systems, there's a stuff called Evusheld, Evusheld. You should talk to your doctor about it. It's sitting on the shelves. Nobody's getting it. It's antibodies that are, if you can call them ethically sourced, they're based on human-produced antibodies that provide protection for 90 days or more after you get the Evusheld, protects you against serious illness or death from COVID. Now, this is for people with cancer, multiple myeloma, people that don't make antibodies, people with lymphoma, transplant patients, but nobody's getting it. And so ask your doctor about it. If you have one of those conditions or a loved one has one, a condition like that, ask them about Evusheld. You can usually get in right now, same day to get it, or the next day. It's not, there's no shortage, but.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Doctor, thank you. Thank you for being with me. If people want to check you out, get connected to you, it's germbusters.com, right? Best way to connect?
That's right, germbusters with an S. Thank you.
Again, thanks for making time for us. Always good to have you. That's Dr. Robert Tabali. Say a prayer for him as well, and stay with me when we come back. I received an email from a listener. I shared this briefly last week, but I want to dive into it. Are we seeing the fruit of the consecration to the Mother of God? Are we seeing the benefits of that? I'll break that down and more. Stay with me.
Your news, the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. Your news now.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
Your life connected. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, the Holy Father is sounding off on the war in Ukraine and with Russia. He's asking leaders to observe an Easter truce. Let me tell you what he's saying. And I want to share with you an email, too. The consecration took place on March 25th. Are we seeing the fruits of it? Some would say no. Russian President Vladimir Putin said peace talks with Kyiv have reached a dead end. And as you know, as you see in your news, as you hear reported, the Ukrainian military is continuing to be bombed. Residential areas are being bombed. There are, according to some experts, tens of thousands of civilians who have lost their lives. We're looking at almost 5 million people who have been forced to flee their country. And areas like Mariupol and others are just turned into rubble. Ukrainian authorities are investigating allegations right now that there might have even been a chemical, Russian chemical attack in Mariupol. I don't have any affirmation on that. They're going ahead. They're looking into that. Russia is saying that all the imagery that we're seeing is fake news. You know, all these so-called war crimes are fake news. And that's part of the reason Mr. Putin says that he has stalled the talks. He says the fake situation in Bucha, and that's a town right outside of Kyiv, where they discovered hundreds of dead civilians. That's fake, that the U.S., that the West is fomenting a lot of this. And, of course, we've got Volodymyr Zelensky saying, hey, I need help now, or things can go in the other direction. So the Holy Father is calling for prayer. He addressed he didn't use a name specifically. You know, he gave a Sunday address from the Vatican, and he called on both Russia and Ukraine to observe an Easter truce. Okay, it's been 6 weeks now since Russia invaded, and he says we've got to make sacrifices. He says both sides have got to make sacrifices for the good of the people. And he says, he gave this sermon, and he says, weapons need to be laid down. They need to be laid down and to begin an Easter truce, and not to reload weapons and resume fighting. He says, no, a truce must be reached. Peace must be reached through real negotiations. Now, he never said the name Russia or Ukraine directly, but he denounced what he called the, quote, folly of war. He says, this is senseless cruelty. And he says, in fact, and I love this line. Listen to this. He says, what a victory. What would victory be for the one who plants a flag on rubble? That's exactly what we're seeing, right? Cities turned into rubble. He says, when we resort to violence, we lose sight of why we are in the world and even end up committing senseless acts of cruelty. We see this in the folly of war, where Christ is crucified yet another time. He says, the unjust deaths of husbands and sons, refugees fleeing bombs, young people deprived of a future, and soldiers sent to kill their brothers and sisters. That's the Holy Father. While Ukraine and these Russian talks are still ongoing, Zelensky has tried to open a door. He agreed that he was ready to accept neutrality regarding NATO. But he wants assurances, you know, that if for some reason, you know, give them the Donbass region and return to like pre-February 24th, you know, territories. But he has to have the guarantee that there will be no future invasion, right? He had Vladimir Putin saying, no, that's not going to be the case. And as you know, as you continue to see, the shelling is continuing. And the fighting is intensifying. There was a woman who wrote to me, and her email struck me because it happened. She sent it to me just days after this consecration. I want to share it with you, and I think we should talk about the spiritual movements behind the scene here. If you look at the news, it's an inevitability that Russia will probably win that war. They went back; they're rearming, you know, repositioning, getting set again. They're a stronger, more robust military, no question about it. But with God, all things are possible, right? We don't know what's going to happen. And I do believe that Russia has a role to play in God's divine plan. That's why Our Lady came and specifically mentioned them in Fatima. And the question is, will Russia re-evangelize the world after pummeling it? It's a big question. Last week, this lady writes to me, and I guess I'll share her name. And I'm grateful for your call, for your email, Barb. She says, last week we prayed on the Feast of the Annunciation to end the war in Ukraine. It didn't happen. The truth is, Drew, that it escalated proportions unbeknown to Catholics around the world. The atrocities of last week have been inconceivable, to say the least. 2,000 men were killed, bodies tortured and dismembered, women raped in front of their children. 210 children were killed. My question is, where's God? How do we believe in the power of prayer? I pray my rosary and the chaplet every day for an end to this battle, this battle for power by Putin. We must put out an all-out war against this horrible human being, she says. Last Friday, I thought all the prayers that we said, she's referring to the consecration of March 25th that we brought to you over the air here. She says, I thought that our prayers were answered. But I've seen it has not been enough. Now to realize that he has two daughters makes it even more inconceivable. I'll continue to pray for the end of this war and hope that it happens soon. Another woman heard me read that email the day I received it, and a person wrote to me and says, look, I just want to share this regarding the story about that woman who's upset because nothing has happened since Pope Francis's consecration of Russia. Reminded me of a meme that was on the internet before even the word meme, you know, became part of our vocabulary. It went something like this. How do we teach patience to a generation raised on instant pudding, Polaroid cameras, drive-through restaurants, TV shows that resolve everything in an hour, etc.? I would add that the internet has only made it exponentially more difficult. I think there's a lot of truth to that. I tried to caution everybody when we brought to you the consecration, the Holy Father's consecration. The head of the World Apostle of Fatima, who was a guest on the program, said, look, don't expect on March 26th the war to end. Not that it could not happen. It certainly could. But sometimes change takes time. You know, conversion takes time. It's like a giant ocean liner. You know, it takes a long time for that to change direction, to turn around. But prayer has an effect, and this consecration certainly, certainly does. I'll bring it back. I'll give you a little history here. And I often wonder about Russia's role in the divine plan. I think Russia does play a divine role. Clearly, the Virgin Mary knew that it would rise, that it would spread its errors. The Virgin talked about consecration of Russia. She talked about the triumph of the Immaculate Heart. If you turn the hands of time back, if you go back to the 10th century, the nation of Kiev in the 10th century, that's the birth of the nation of Kiev, really. And it's part of its history because what happened there is pretty amazing. It was a Christian city. It was a Christian part of the world. And now it's the most prophetic conflict that I think we've ever seen. A little history. I'll back you up just to, if you're not familiar with what Our Lady said in Fatima, just to give you a perspective on this. And I'll lay out what I see maybe happening and maybe how God is at work here. I have no doubt that this consecration is going to have a profound impact. That's why as we see things getting darker, Satan becomes more violent. I think he becomes more aggressive before his defeat. He's lashing out. He's lashing out right now. He's no longer hiding in the shadows. He's coming out into the light because he knows his time is running short. Go back to July 13th, 1917, right? Our Lady begins her appearances in the spring of that year. They end in October. But in July, she gives these kids a vision, right? She extends her hands. These rays of light pour forth. And then the ground opens up. And the three little seers of Fatima, they saw a sea of fire in which souls in human form were being consumed, right? They were just being enveloped. And these souls were screaming. They were crying inconsolably. They were in torment, right? And the vision was so bad, the kids, the people who were witnessing this, they couldn't see what the kids saw, but the kids let out a scream, right? And when it was over, the Virgin told them, she says, you've seen hell where the souls of poor sinners go and save them. God wants to establish devotion to my Immaculate Heart in the world. If you do what I tell you, many souls will be saved and there will be peace. And at the time, you got to remember, 1917, this is going on, World War I was still raging. She said to the kids, if you do this, the war will end. It will end. But if you do not stop offending God, in the reign of Pius XI, another worse one will begin. You know what happened, right? True to her prophecy, we saw the Second World War take place. And the kids had no idea what Pope... You got to remember that they were in the pontificate of Benedict XV, who just succeeded Pius the 11th in 1922. Children had no way of knowing what name the new Pope would take. Pretty amazing. But that's not the most important thing. What did Our Lady say? She says, God wants to establish devotion to my Immaculate Heart to prevent people from falling in hell. Second, that the salvation of people will result in the spread of peace on the earth. And then third, the final aspect here, Fatima announced that the First World War will end, that if we didn't stop offending God, the Second World War would begin, which, of course, it did. And she warned of what would ultimately unfold. And she says this, she informed the kids that war is a punishment. This is my takeaway from this. War is a punishment for man's offense against God. It's something I think we have to contemplate and meditate on. I'm not making these words up. I didn't say this. That's what the Virgin did. That's what she said. She told the seer, she says, when you see a night illuminated by an unknown light, this happened in 1938. There was a great aurora that supposedly took place there. Light, all of Europe saw it. She says, it is a great sign that God gives you that he's going to punish the world for its crimes through war, hunger, and persecution of the church. So again, war. It's seen as a punishment against, you know, the offenses we commit against God. Then she associates war with hunger and persecution of the church and the Pope. And she gives the kids, and this is what's so important for us today, a remedy for what was happening in the world from people falling into hell. She says, to prevent all this from happening, and here's a solution for our own day, and we just did this. She says, to prevent this all from happening, I'll come to ask for the consecration of Russia to my Immaculate Heart and for the communion of reparation on First Saturday, something we've been talking a lot about. So she wanted Russia consecrated, and she wants First Saturdays. In other words, you know, until now we had the central request to establish devotion to the Immaculate Heart in the world, but of course in these turbulent times we need these First Saturdays, which is, you know, these reparations for the offenses against God and for against Our Lady. But, you know, the consecration of Russia to Mary's Immaculate Heart, why? Let's talk about that for a second. As I said in the beginning, Russia had been born in Kyiv, the capital of Ukraine, when Prince Vladimir converted to Christianity. This is back in 988. Through the baptism of the Orthodox Byzantines, while there was still communion with Rome, we were all one at that point in time. The split didn't happen until, I think it was 1098. He baptized the 12 children. He destroyed all their pagan statues of the Slavs. And the entire kingdom was, you know, entered the church. It was mass baptisms. And it extended his kingdom to the east and what's now Russia. So, you know, there's these deep Christian roots in Russia. So in a way, the Russian people became not only very Christian, but very Marian. But 1917, an event happened that changed the face of the earth. When we come back, let me pick up on it. I've got to take a short break here. I'll fill you in on what happened. And let's talk about Russia's role in the future of the world and our role in helping to bring that about. I'll share with you some very interesting things that Sister Lucia DeSantis, the sole surviving visionary, ultimately would reveal. All right, that and more coming straight up. Stay with me. Today's show brought to you in part by Sony Pictures production, Father Stu. This biopic shares the conversion and ordination of Stuart Long in movie theaters nationwide on April 13th.
The Chaplet of Divine Mercy begins soon on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, we'll pray in just about 10 minutes, 12 minutes. Love to do that with you. If you've got somebody who really needs prayer, be sure and get them plugged in. They can listen to the station you are tuned into. Or, of course, they could go ahead and listen online or on the mobile app. Great ways to connect. So reach out to your friends and your family and your loved ones who need prayer. And let's pray together in just a few moments. And let's pray for peace in the world. We're living in very troubling times. We're also living in grace-filled times. I think as evil rises, as St. Paul tells us, grace abounds all the more, doesn't it? And I'm delighted to live in this time. I'm delighted to put my trust in God. I'm delighted to pray. I'm delighted to know that we live in this great Marian age. If you're just joining me, I was talking about what happened in 1917, an event that would change the world. I think the Fatima apparitions were incredibly prophetic. And I think they're unfolding even in our own day. Sister Lucia DeSantis, who would die at the age of like 97 or 98, who had subsequent visions, said that we're only in day three of the week of Fatima. So these events are to unfold. The question is, we're looking at Russia right now. Consecration had been done in 1984 by John Paul II. There were four consecrations done in all, right? And Pope Francis just did, I believe, the fifth. These different consecrations all took place. Sister Lucia said that John Paul's was accepted. It wasn't done exactly as heaven asked, but it was accepted. And we saw what happened. Within a few months, the Iron Curtain fell, right? 4 years, actually 48 months, something along those lines. But it fell. It fell. And Pope Benedict, in union with all the bishops, you know, with the faithful around the world, inviting people to pray and to join him, you know, mentioned Russia by name and reconsecrated it to the Immaculate Heart. I'm expecting great things. I really am. I had a woman who wrote and said, I'm not seeing the fruit of it. Well, I didn't expect to see it in a day or even 2 days. I think grace is like a seed that's planted. You know, it has to be watered with our prayers and our sacrifices, our trust, and it will burst forth. It will bloom. And it will give off the fragrance of God. It will draw many people back to him. And I think Russia plays a role in that. We're talking about that right now. I mean, they look like monsters. You know, mighty nation rolling in over a week or one, committing what appears to be terrible, you know, war crimes, maybe even genocide. How's Russia going to play out in all this? You know, let's go back to 1917 again. I'll give you a little history. There was an atheist group. 1917 took political power through a revolution. And what did we see happen? The persecution of Christians, right? They said that happiness could be installed on earth by distributing the wealth of the powerful among workers, that happiness was subject to a moral change contrary to biblical morality. What was that power? It was the Soviet Union, right? It was communism. The Soviet Union extended its ideology by force to neighboring countries. And in every place where the communists went, every place where that ideology took power, it ended up ruling by an authoritarian type of rule. There was an elite that ruled. And what happened? Communism and socialism, their failed political ideologies. In every nation that they went to, the economy shrank, right? Distribution did not arrive. They introduced a new morality, right? And they produced bloody revolutions around the world. It was a place of great suffering. Communist Russia was one of the most powerful and organized enemies that Christianity has ever faced. And what did the Virgin say? She told the kids, if my wishes are heeded, Russia will be converted and there will be peace. If not, she will spread her errors throughout the world, promoting wars and the persecutions of the church. The good will be martyred. The Holy Father will have a lot to suffer and nations will be annihilated. That's what we have seen unfold across the span of the 20th century. Into the 21st. Now, have nations been annihilated? I don't know. You can argue they have. Metaphorically, you can say they haven't. I don't know. I hope that's not still to come. But what did the Virgin say? She says, if devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary is not established, you know, and Russia is not consecrated, terrible things will happen. But we saw John Paul consecrate Russia. We saw Pope Francis consecrate Russia, right? And I believe that good is going to come from this. Sister Lucia told a priest once, Father Fuentes, she said that Russia will be an instrument of God's punishment for all if we do not achieve the conversion of that poor nation. And we saw what happened for decades, right? We saw the Cold War. In fact, there was almost a nuclear war in 85, Sister Lucia said. There would have been if it had not been for John Paul's consecration. That averted that. So what graces are at work right now when Pope Francis is consecrated, you know, Russia to the Immaculate Heart? Russia will be converted, she promised. And a time of peace will be granted for the world. That's what the Virgin Mary said. Let me reiterate this. She goes, finally, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. The Holy Father will consecrate Russia to me, which will convert. And a time of peace will be granted to the world. I mean, that is a powerful, powerful promise. I have great belief that that's what's going to happen. Father Malachi Martin, who allegedly read the third secret from the hands of John the 23rd, said that from Ukraine and Russia will come a purification and then ultimately a re-evangelization of the world. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. What I know is this, and it's a very simple thing, that God's mercy is greater than the greatest sin, right? The greatest darkness, the greatest evil force, and that evil feeds upon itself and it always collapses, right? Will we see Russia convert? I'm going to put my money on yes on that. Will we see it re-Christianize? I certainly hope so. Will we see it in our lifetime? I think so. Right now, in the midst of the storm, as things are becoming more violent, more ugly, you think, how will that ever be? How will that ever be? We're already seeing the fruit of it. Father Araki, our chief executive officer here, he sent me an email the other day, and I had a chuckle to myself a little bit because there was an AP piece that went on a news article. He says, Drew, check out the highlighted yellow section. And he highlights this part of this article. He says, Putin was not only surprised by his army's initial failures in this war in Ukraine, U.S. and Western figures, they believe that the invasion would happen, that Russia would take over very quickly, cut through Ukraine's army like a hot knife. That didn't happen. On March 25th, barely a month after the invasion began, this is a secular source writing this, okay? On March 25th, barely a month after the invasion began, the Russians declared they had achieved their goals in the Kyiv region and would shift focus to the separatist Donbas area of eastern Ukraine. Some suspected a ploy to buy time without giving up maximalist aims, but within days, the Kyiv retreat was in full view. What was March 25th? What was March 25th? It was the anniversary of the consecration, right? It was the anniversary of the consecration. I really do believe we're going to see great grace come from this. I just say strap on your belt, sit back, and wait. We're already seeing that. The day of the consecration that takes place, this war will end. Peace will be established. And I think grace is going to flow. But we got to do our parts, too. First Saturdays, got to continue to practice those. Let me grab a quick call because I have a moment or two here. Very quickly. Let's go to Parov. He's listening in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Hey, Parov, good afternoon. Parov, are you with us?
I'm glad that I have ability to talk to you. So just going back to your previous perspective on a historical,
I think we had a bad signal. Sorry about that, Parov. I would love to have heard you. A little bit of a bad signal there, My apologies for that. Let me do this. Let's just take a moment here when we come back, and we're going to pray the chapel coming up here in a minute or two. And I'll take a few of your calls. So if you want to join me, you're always welcome at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. We'll pray the chapel today. I want to pray really that the grace of this consecration will manifest in a powerful way, and that there will be peace, that there will be peace. I also want to just, remind you, when you see the news, when you watch what's happening, and there's bloodshed in the subways of New York, or there's, looks like, war crimes in Ukraine, or you see inflation numbers hit all-time highs, or you find yourself getting stressed out, you've got to put your trust in God. Received an email from a woman and really made me think about this. And maybe we can talk about this as well coming up. She says, my husband's been unemployed and is having a very difficult time finding work. He's getting discouraged because he hasn't found anything yet. Yet I tell him to trust that God has a plan. I trust our Lord. I trust that our Lord will provide him for a job. But Drew, I'm starting to get discouraged myself. I have to remind myself daily to trust. It's been hard. Please pray for me and my husband and our family. I will be more than glad to go ahead and do that. But that is really the key to the problems that we're facing today in the world. It's also key to the conflicts that we were facing here at home. Jesus, when he gave his Sermon on the Mount, what did he say? He talked about how loving God the Father is. And he says, don't be anxious about your life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, right? I mean, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns. What happens? Our Heavenly Father, he is our Heavenly Father. He feeds them. And I often think about that. Are you worth more than that? Scripture tells us. So don't be anxious. What's worry do? It doesn't do a thing. Doesn't add a cubit, it says, to your lifespan. In fact, St. Faustina says, worry, distrust, it wounds the loving heart of Jesus. So you really, you're doing something that will never benefit you and at the same time hurts our Lord. Don't be anxious, right? Put your trust in the Lord. You'll see the fruits of that. Let's pray when I come back, okay, with you. We'll take your calls. If you're on hold, I'll do my best to get you on. We'll put our trust in God.